The best Cork sporting action at the weekend.
One goal to win the title. It's as simple as that.
Oh, can you believe this?
Have you ever seen a try like that?
The Big Red Bench.
On Cork's Good Times.
Red FM.
Welcome along to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Good Times, Red FM. Hopefully you didn't get swept away too much today. Huge thanks to Sinead Quillen for playing some serious bangers there. But it's Dan Casey here with you for the next hour or so, bringing you up to speed on the day's sporting action. A real jam-packed show today. We'll be hearing from Cork City boss Tim Clancy, Cove Rambler's boss Gary Hunt, City's Barry Coffey, and we'll be hearing from Cork footballing legend Paul Kerrigan, and myself and Jarv, quite the sconce looking at the Cork Footballers' Championship outing tomorrow against Limerick in the park. But first to a bit of rugby. Now, ahead of the Munster 18.5 Cup on this evening between Water Park and Brough in Virgin Media Park at 7. Our very own Ger McCarthy caught up with both managers ahead of the big occasion. First up, we have a brief chat with David Power of Water Park.
But the weather conditions, that's going to dictate how this game is approached from both teams, both yourselves and Brough.
Yeah, we played in Virgin Media Park for our semi-final against Tyfield, which was also quite a breezy day, and it certainly swirls around that stadium quite a bit, and it's definitely going to have an effect on the flight of the ball from time to time. And even though it's an all-weather surface, a wet ball is still a wet ball. It's still hard to hold on to when it's wet. So it's definitely going to have a big effect in the game.
Yes, it certainly is. That wind and that rain hopefully will hold off and allow this cup final to go ahead. You mentioned the fact that you beat Highfield in the semi-finals 22-17, having come through a first round game against Killarney, which you won 26-5. But that semi-final win over Highfield, you needed Ben Wallace kicking a couple of conversions and a penalty and tries from Dylan Cody, Fergal O'Brien and Ryan Stevens. How important was it for the players that wouldn't normally or might not have experienced Virgin Media Park and the fact that it's a stadium? How important is that going into a final?
Yeah, a lot of the players actually had experienced it. We played there in the under 16 final 3 years ago, so a number of the players would have played it. But actually having the experience, you know, playing on the, I suppose one of the things none of the players are used to is playing on this all-weather, the 4G pitch. So it was nice to get that experience. I know Brough had a similar experience playing in UL. But having that experience of the different bounce of the ball is important to the players. They certainly learn a bit from having played there, you know, once or twice before. It does make a difference.
It certainly does. Your club is based in Ballinakil and you've got some fantastic facilities. But the fact, David, that you're a Waterford club, it is unusual, to put it mildly too, because Cork and Limerick clubs and schools tend to dominate the boys' scene. But Water Park are certainly bucking that trend. You've got a fantastic setup and a very, very big club. Things are going well on and off the pitch. Would winning this under 18.5 cup final only add to that?
Yeah, it's of course we're very anxious to be. We'd love to win it. It'd be great for us. We've had quite a good history over the last 10 or 15 years. Water Park have won quite a few under 16 and under 18 titles. We tend to punch above our weight, certainly at youth level. Being not from Cork and Limerick, sometimes it involves a bit more travel, particularly for a few of the younger players. They've had a little bit of interprovincial experience, and they travel to Cork and Limerick quite a bit for that. So we're kind of outside the traditional rugby zone, but there's a very strong history of rugby here. Indeed, ourselves and Waterford City, Carrick, Dungarvan, all very eager and very, very big clubs in their own rights.
Absolutely, and that's what makes it great to see the likes of yourselves getting to these cup finals. You're going to be taking on a really tough opponent in Brough. I know you know quite a bit about them. They've got, like yourselves, a very, very good setup, and they've got a big history when it comes to underage rugby as well. This, as the cliche goes, David, is not going to be easy.
No, it's not. It's not. We played Brough last year in a knockout match to get through to the cup stage, and we also played them in a cracking semi-final in the under 16 cup 2 years ago. Both of them very, very tough games. Both of them very, very sporting. The Brough, you know, the Brough players and management alike are very, 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 very nice guys. We've gone very well with them. But you know, they're very tough. It's going to be a hard game. Absolutely.
Yeah, best of luck to David there. And you're also caught up with Seamus Sheehan of Brough.
Well, Ger, I suppose the big thing is this will be the biggest game for some of these lads, I suppose, in terms of what they say so far and possibly in their rugby playing career. So, you know, it's a massive occasion for the boys. I suppose to myself, I've seen a few teams through this position already. We've contested these finals in the past and come out successful and unsuccessful on a few occasions. So for the boys, they're really looking forward to it. Huge amount of work put in. We've been training, you know, religiously since last, the end of last August, really. And, you know, I think if you were to ask the lads their goals at the start of the year, they would definitely have been looking forward and pushing to getting into this final. You know, I suppose getting there is one thing, being competitive is the next thing for them. And, you know, I suppose for them, putting on a good performance, both personally as a team on the day is the big thing for them.
Certainly is. No, you're no strangers to Virgin Media Park, but you had to come through to get to this final. You had to do it the hard way. Now, you got over Cove Pirates in the quarterfinals, but that semi-final where you beat Ennis 24-22, I mean, it sounded like a fantastic game and it came down to the final kick. Will those experiences benefit the players heading into this final? And just tell us about that semi-final and how exciting a game that was.
Yeah, it was a fairly epic and emotional game, Ger. You know, we went in, you know, fearful of the threat in its pose. We'd know a lot of their players from, you know, over, you know, we'd been meeting them since minis would be really, and we knew the dangers they possessed. We did a lot of preparation for Ennis. We went 7-0 down in that game, but we hit a purple patch before half time, scored 3 tries before half time. We were 17-7, I think, up at half time. But then, you know, as we would have expected, Ennis hit their purple patch and went 22-17 up. So, you know, went down to the wire, as you said. And I suppose those closing moments kind of, for me, gave me a great sense of pride as the coach and great sense of pride for the players. You know, they dug deep to work out, you know, a last-minute try with a last-minute kick from Matthew Daly off the touchline, as it was, to settle the game 24-22. So, you know, those experiences for the guys, you know, going behind, having that purple patch, you know, weathering the Ennis storm as it was, and, you know, giving ourselves a chance in those final moments was, you know, a great test of character, which we ultimately came through. You know, we've had a few games like that this year where we've, you know, had to dig deep to get a result. So, you know, no doubt that experience will stand to the boys tomorrow when they hit the pitch in Virgin Media Park.
Great stuff, and best luck to both sides in that one. Getting underway in just under an hour's time now. Ahead of Munster's clash against Northampton tomorrow, we now hear from Gavin Coombs and coach Dennis Leamy ahead of their Champions Cup clash.
For us, it's about focusing on ourselves and getting the aspects of our game right and our game plan right and sticking to it. And, you know, we know what they bring. They've a very good back line, good set piece, you know, good offloading game. You know, they've a lot of lads that stepped up and played Six Nations and done well, and, you know, their confidence is obviously very high. They're top of the Premiership at the moment, so, you know, we're under no illusions what they have to offer. But, you know, luckily for us, like I was saying earlier, we've played them a few times and we kind of know what they're about, so, you know, it's refreshing what we've spoken about in the past. Yeah, I grew up in a huge rugby family. Would have watched Munster from, you know, probably the time I was born. So, yeah, I'm very aware of European rugby as a whole and this competition and, you know, the history that teams have in it. But at the end of the day, you know, everyone wants to be European champions, and you see teams like La Rochelle who want to build their own history. So, yeah, this competition's huge for, I think, every team out there. Yeah, like, for Munster throughout history, it's always been a big position. There's always been great players there. And for me, it's about taking the jersey, and we speak about putting in a better place, and that's where I want to leave it. I want to be remembered with the likes of the people who have gone before me. So, yeah, that's another huge motivating factor. And, you know, growing up playing eight, you know, they were always lads I could look up to, and I suppose to be wearing it is a dream come true. But as I said, just to be wearing it isn't enough. I want to put it in a better place than I got it.
RG trained today. He trained really well. He had a little bit of a virus over the weekend, and he reported back for training today, and he got through a lot of work. So we very hopeful around RG. With Calvin, he's a little bit further behind, so we'll just have to wait and see how he goes over the next couple of days. What was obvious from the very start was the talent he had and his ability, his calmness, his decision-making, his work ethic, and through that sort of application to his game, he's improved over the years. And, you know, like every player needs that plays, you know, well into their 30s, and he will need a little bit of luck or with injury as well. And Connor has had his injuries, but he's responded so well to them, come back, and you know, he's had a tremendous career for Munster, Ireland, the Lions. You know, one of the best players certainly that I played with, and of the last 25 years, you'd have to say, incredible talent. I think it's a great challenge. They're a very, very good attack. We know that from playing against them the last couple of years. They're really well put together. You know, they've got special players like Alex Mitchell. They've got power players like Augustus, Landon. You know, Courtney Laws comes to mind. You know, really, really good players who are handfuls. You know, you look at the talent that Finn Smith at 10 has. So there's challenges right across the park. We just have to concentrate on ourselves. You know, we've been pretty good this season. You know, I think the lowest amount of tries conceded in our own domestic league, and we have to fall back on things like that. Trust our principles, trust our decision making, and bring a little bit of physicality and energy to it. And you know, we'll be well in the mix, hopefully. Yeah, very pleased with our young players, and Jack's a very good example of a guy who's, you know, head down. His ability to learn, his ability to take on information, his bounce back in terms of making mistakes, which all young players will make and continue to make. And his appetite for the game is tremendous. And, you know, you just saw a different quality from him, you know, in terms of how he took his try the other night. That ability just to find a way, weave his way through, show a little bit of physicality to get an important touchdown for us. And that's, you know, it's a great quality. But Jack has that. And he's, you know, he's now a player that has played, I'm not sure exactly, but around 10 tests for Ireland. And, you know, that experience is invaluable to him. And since he's come back, I've been really impressed by the way he's come back into the group. He's quietly gone about his business and in an authoritative way, and has really set the standards. And he's been excellent the last couple of days. Yeah, it's a big challenge. Like, set piece rugby in Europe is huge, you know, that big focus, the amount of minutes we put into practice. Yeah, certainly we'll be going to Northampton with that in, you know, the forefront of our minds again, and around scrum, maul, line out, you know, close quarter stuff. And it's a challenge because they have a big aggressive pack, you know, with players like Ludlam and Courtney Laws. Landham, the hooker, you know, they're really strong players. And, you know, there is definitely an area where we have to, you know, put in a really, really big shift.
Brilliant stuff there out of Gavin and Dennis. We have a massive treat for you now as Ger McCarthy spoke to Cork Gaelic footballing legend Paul Kerrigan for a preview of the Rebels footballing opener against Limerick in Super Value Parky Cueve tomorrow at 2. Be sure to get there and support the team if you can. They'd love your support. Paul, of course, an All-Ireland winner with Cork on that fateful day in 2010. I was there and I remember it well. It might be a while before we win one in with the footballers again yet, but you never know. We have to get the job done tomorrow first. Here's Paul speaking with Ger.
Now on Corkshire FM's Big Red Bench, we are delighted to be joined by former All-Ireland senior football winner and Cork senior inter-county star Paul Kerrigan of Nemo Rangers to look ahead to this weekend's Munster senior football clash with Limerick. Paul, you're very welcome to the Big Red Bench. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks very much.
Appreciate you joining us. Before we talk about the Limerick game, your impression of Cork's National League campaign this year, because it didn't get off to the best of starts, but finishing with 3 wins and a draw, the momentum gain, just how important is that going to be heading into this Limerick match?
Yeah, I suppose, as you said yourself, like at the start of the league, it wasn't kind of looking too positive. You know, I suppose I kind of, especially, let's say, the Cavan game, where in the third quarter, let's say, Cavan came out and turned it around. And beat Cork in their home patch, you know what I mean? I kind of would have been starting to have my bit of doubts there, but in fairness, they went to Fermanagh and turned it around the next day, and after getting huge momentum, as you said, three wins on the bounce, with every win they were pushing up the table. I think they ended up finishing in maybe fourth or third, you know, so they'll take huge positivity from that. They obviously went away in a short training camp, which can be really, really useful, you know what I mean, and they can be really enjoyable, and not just from a football point of view, but bringing the team together point of view, that they're really good that way. And then finish up with a draw where they could have won, could have lost against a good Armagh team who obviously got to the final. So look, in fairness, they turned it around themselves in the league, and to finish the league with three wins and a draw is really, really good, and they'll take huge plus points championship with that. They could have found a few players as well in the league. I see Paul Walsh came into the team, you know, Chris Kelly came in goal, so they've got a couple of players out of it as well, you know what I mean. Sean Meehan is well into centre back in the back half of the league, so they'll take huge positives the way they finished the league, and I'd say they'll be raring to go now for the game at the weekend.
Yeah, they certainly will, and that's a good summation of where Cork currently are. Now, they're playing a Limerick team, Paul. They're the only team in the four National League divisions who didn't pick up a point this year, so it's pretty obvious the form was they suffered, the Limerick senior footballers. As a former Cork player yourself, how difficult is it when you're going into a game that everybody on the outside of Limerick dressing room and Cork dressing room just expects Cork to win, dealing with that favourites tag? How difficult is that, and how dangerous a thing is it, as we saw as well last year when Cork lost to Clare? The Cork mindset going into this game has to be spot on.
Yeah, the mindset has to be spot on. I suppose it comes a bit with being with Cork, and obviously like Kerry would be number one probably in Munster most years, Cork number two. Everyone expects you to win, and nearly against the other teams. Obviously it didn't happen against Clare last week, but they've come on a whole pile over the last couple of years, you know, especially under Billy Lee. Limerick were really coming, and they've obviously had a bit of a blip this year, but that mindset, it'll have to come from the management first and foremost, and the older players, you know what I mean, to take one game at a time. Like as I said, the way it would have always looked at it is if you have to respect them, but on our day if we perform we should beat them, and you know, it might set you up. You might find out one or two things about yourself, maybe a couple of possible weaknesses that you can rectify going in against the likes of Kerry in a big game then. Yeah, that mindset, I suppose, would be obviously to have respect for the opposition. I suppose Limerick had a bit of a down league, as you said there, in comparison to previous years, you know what I mean, where they were up in Division 2 even last year, I'm pretty sure. So, look, they'll just have to respect them and know, but they'll know well if they perform, that they should get over them, and look, they are in a good place, and they expect them to perform. But again, look, the likes of Ian Corbett, they have some really good players, and they won't take them lightly.
They certainly won't, and we don't know how this game is going to pan out. We hope, as you said, if Cork played at their optimum levels, that they should have enough to get over Limerick. Just in general terms, and I know it's still very, very early in the year, Paul, and sometimes you can read too much into a National League campaign, but what would you hope for this particular bunch of Cork players and the way they've come on under John Cleary and Kevin Walsh, Mihalo Cronin and all that background team, James Lochre as well, as a lot of very, very good football people in that dressing room? Your hopes for this Cork senior team for the rest of the year, irrespective of how the Limerick game goes?
Yeah, look, you're right, Dave. Grateful is involved. You know what I mean? I would have John under 21 and would have played the likes of James Lockhart, would know me, Hall of Corny, all really, really good people. I think they've been in the quarter final the last couple of years, you know what I mean? And even when I was playing, you know, way back at the start, like the quarter finals used to be on the August Bank Holiday weekend, and that's when the kind of, you would have thinking the season really started, you know, really got to the business there. So I would say, look, regardless of Munster, which, look, I think might come back to it, would be a real target for them. I think they've hands going down there and putting it up to Kerry. But I think minimum quarter final would be like again where they should aim for, which they have been in the last couple of years. On the field, then I would love to see them. I think they look quite good without the ball. They did last year, especially at the start of the league. Now they probably didn't look as good this year. And look, I presume they'll probably have worked on it and try tighten that up coming into the championship. So I would like to see him maybe in that transition, which they have tried to get forward a bit more pace and get more body forward. And we can see James Masters was brought into the setup maybe to bring that kick game. So I'd like to see that evolve a little bit. I know the kick out is something that's probably much maligned, much talked about. I'd like to see that evolve. I think it will join the championship. You know, teams will put pressure on those long kick outs to the sideline. So maybe a bit of variation, short kick out and things like that. So I'd like to see him evolve attacking wise more so. Just maybe add a few strings, more strings that are brought, like they brought in the likes of Mark Cronin, a kicking player around the half-hour line, which was a good idea. And now they have Conor Corbyn inside, who's probably, in my opinion, their most talented forward. I think they probably have to evolve that way if they want to push on and get past the quarterfinal. And you know, they like even get out of the groups. They had a couple of big wins last year against Mayo, especially to get out of the group and put it up to Kerry. So I think quarterfinal minimum, and I'd be hopeful in the semi-final, and then probably before that. I honestly do think they'll give Kerry a right good go down Clarity this year.
Yeah, and you mentioned there Mark Cronin, one of your club mates from Nemo Rangers. Yeah. Mihály Martin and Kevin O'Donovan are also listed in the current panel. Yeah. Mark's really did impress in the early stages, pre-season, and certainly in the National League this year. But for those three players as their club mates of yours, you'll obviously hope to see a bit more of them as the championship evolves.
Yeah, like Mihály, I know, was away over Christmas. And he was nursing an injury even before he went away, and it took him a while. I think he got injured again, and he ended up coming back in kind of towards the end of the league there against Armagh. Kevin was injured for a long time, and again got right. He played a couple of club league games with us. I'd say he was hoping he might have got it into the squads a little bit earlier, but didn't, you know. But he's shown in championship, he's always done the business for them. Like he got the winner against Roscommon last year. And he's been playing well even since back 2020 when we beat Kerry. He done a good job that day. So look, they know, I suppose, he's in a position where there's a lot of competition. He's obviously come back into the mix there now in his position, and Tommy Walsh, who's probably in my opinion one of their best performers over the last 2 years in the corner. So look, he knows himself, but I think Cork knows his worth as well. And then Mark, obviously, I obviously would have thought of him coaching him in school, delighted to see him get a run. I suppose I would have always been pushing him, let's say, at this level to be out around the 45, maybe as that second centre forward and bit of a playmaker rather than inside. He can play it anywhere, but he's a really good brain, like, for football, like as good as I've come across in Nemo, and really intelligent and a good player. So look, I think he's a live wire option. I know he was going well in training for him last year, didn't get much of a run, and he got a bit of a reward this year. So look, I think he's in maybe their top eight forwards this year. So hopefully he'll get a bit more game time in championship.
Indeed, let's hope that. And just to finish up with Paul, as we said, like this weekend and taking on Limerick, as you mentioned already, if Cork play to their optimum, if they can do the things that you're expected to do, they should win. But when it comes to the Munster Championship, and you know this from winning three Munster titles yourself, there's a big difference and a step up when you finish with the league and then you start the championship. How difficult does that mindset change, just finally, when the league is done and dusted, it's put away now, and what you carry and what the positives and the negatives, whatever you take from it. But how difficult in that interim period when you're training, getting ready, training obviously steps up, how difficult is it to get up to championship, I suppose, mindset just before the whole thing kicks off?
Yeah, I suppose you're right. A switch does flick. I suppose back when I was playing, like, I'd actually like to ask the lads playing myself, because when we were playing at the beginning, you could have 7 weeks to Munster championship after league and go to play around the club games and go into a pre-season again and really build up for, let's say, that Cork-Kerry game, that big one. Whereas the lads now have only a two-week break, you know what I mean? They probably would have played Armagh, probably played Nay versus B at the weekend and straight into it again, you know what I mean? So it is interesting, like, that's where the likes of John and Kevin Clancy doing the sports psychology and all that will come into it and try to flip that mindset. Look, like, it is so condensed now. You probably want maybe that separation, even, let's say, as a group, to stop, reflect on the league. You probably have to do it right away and then get right into it for a championship. I suppose the only thing is with form, if others are in form, you think like Corbett now, Chris Old Jones, these lads, they carry their form. They don't have to wait too long for a championship, you know what I mean? They can go straight from Armagh into Limerick and hopefully keep that up. But as you said, like, something like Limerick probably knew they were down halfway through the league, you know what I mean? So they wrote the rest of that off and they're building up now for possibly a crack at Cork, who they'll fancy having a go off and maybe possibly winning the Talton Cup if they don't win that. Like, so they probably would have had that championship mentality changed towards the end of the league. So yeah, it is interesting. I'd like to ask the lads how they do it and see how they do it, but I think things will change from now on because the games are going to come ticking fast with the group stages and that, you know what I mean? So, and look, Cork will want to get over Limerick and then really build up the Kerry, because I think they will get a good bit of support out of Kerry if that does happen.
Indeed, let's hope that it does. But for now, ahead of that Cork and Limerick Munster Senior Football Championship opener, former All-Ireland Senior Football Champion himself, Paul Geoghegan, thanks very much for taking the time to speak to us here on the Big Red Bench.
No matter, thank you. Cheers. Thanks.
Brilliant stuff. Great to hear from All-Ireland winner in Paul Geoghegan. Dan Casey here with you on the Big Red Bench on Cork's Good Times Red FM. After the break, myself and Jure will be going over Cork's football campaign with all our All-Irelands between us. We are from Cork City boss Tim Clancy, Ramblers boss Gary Hunt, and this was after Cork City's 3-0 win over Cove Ramblers last night. We'll be right back after these.
The Big Red Bench.
The Big Red Bench.
The Big Red Bench.
Big Red Bench.
On Cork's Good Times.
Red FM.
Welcome back to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next half an hour. Now earlier I was delighted to be joined by our very own Jure McCarthy as we went through our own preview of the Cork Footballers campaign. That, of course, starting against Limerick tomorrow in Super Value Park at Kiva at 2. Enjoy. Well, the Munster Football Championship is back and championship action in Cork is in fact back. Cork footballers taking on Limerick, of course, in Super Value Park at Kiva tomorrow at 2, where we're delighted to be joined here by our very own Jure McCarthy. Jure, how do you see this one faring out?
On paper, Dan, it looks like it's going to be a Cork win, a team that's hit form at the right time towards the end of their National League campaign against a county, the only county actually in the country that didn't pick up a single point in this year's National League. It's all set up for a Cork win, but unless Cork bring the correct mindset and unless Cork hit the ground running from the first couple of minutes, this might be an awkward game for them. I think Limerick are coming to Super Value Park at Cueve with absolutely nothing to lose. Nobody gives them a chance outside possibly of their own setup. And we've been here before with Cork. A lot of newspaper articles this week, including one of my own, referring back to 12 months ago when Cork travelled to Clare, coming off a similar positive International League campaign, only to come a cropper. So look, on paper, in current form, and considering how each of the county's National League campaigns ended, Cork should win the game. But that's dependent on Cork, you know, getting off to a good start, having the right mindset, and keeping the foot on the gas on this one, not just, you know, barely getting over the line, but putting up a big score and getting a bit of confidence. And a crack at Kerry in Killarney is the prize for the winners, and that's something I think this Cork team needs at this stage of their development. But I certainly wouldn't be taking anything for granted, because if Limerick come and, you know, spoil the party and get defensive and get numbers behind the ball, it's going to take patience, it's going to take an all-round full team performance. But I would expect Cork to get over the line. But as I said, Dan, with this Cork team, sometimes you just don't know. But I would be expecting, from what I've seen of them so far this year, that they would get the win tomorrow, definitely on home soil.
Yeah, you were talking about maybe that complacency that happened against Clare. I can't see it happening this time though, Jure. I mean, I'm sure John Cleary will have them well drilled and well warned about them.
Yeah, he actually name-checked that game, and I think Sean Potter did in the final National League game where we covered for the Big Red Bench in Super Value Park at Cueve, where they drew with Armagh. It was interesting that they both brought that up unprompted. You know, it's still in the players' minds, and Sean Potter mentioned as well that the players, you know, have been, not that they needed reminding of it, but have possibly been reminded of it coming down. You know, you've only got a 2-week turnaround, Dan, from the end of the National League now into the Championship. There was a time you had seven weeks before the Munster Championship started. Now, because of the split season, you've very, very little time or turnaround. And Cleary drew a line under the National League. He said, look, that's it, the league is done, it's a brand new competition now. And Limerick will be saying it exactly the same. They did nothing in Division 3. They're gone down to Division 4, but this is the Munster Championship. And, you know, the hurt of going to Clare last year, not that Clare were a pushover. I mean, it was a shock. This would be a major shock, considering how poorly Limerick are playing this year, were Cork not to win. But last year, it was a surprise, because there was just such a good feel-good factor around the Cork setup coming out of the National League. And it was a reminder, you know, that this team isn't there yet where they can take any opposition or any opponent for granted. Cork recovered, though, I would remind people, following that loss to Clare. They had a bit more time to work on the training pitch and went on to have a very, very positive year going to Croke Park and losing to the Dubs eventually. And look, I just think that they're in a much better place this year. I think they're a much stronger proposition 12 months on under John Cleary. I think he's got a pretty much settled side now, and players know what's expected of them. There's this process that the Cork manager keeps talking about. And I think that's that process, in to me anyway, my interpretation, is transitioning, defending deep in numbers. But when you've got the likes of Luke Fahey, Matty Taylor, you know, Kevin Flav, Kevin O'Donovan, you've got, you know, Morris Shanley, you've got defenders now that can get up the pitch really, really quickly and help the forward, something that wasn't happening in previous seasons. seasons. I think this Cork team is set up to counter-attack very, very smartly when they play against, you know, mass defences, and I think they are in a much better place 12 months on. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility that a shock, you know, if Limerick turn up and play out of their skins. But I just think Cleary, the management team, Yolo Cronin, James Lockray, Kevin Walsh, they've had a longer, you know, they've had 12 more months to work with these players, and it didn't work out at the start of the National League, but it certainly kicked on towards the end of it. And I think Cork are just in that much, much better place, that still not, you know, taking anything for granted against somebody like Limerick, even though they're struggling, but I think they're in a much better place and a much stronger proposition going into the Championship this year.
Yeah, what do you actually think of the team that Cleary has named? Is there anyone that's really surprised you?
No, to be quite honest, I suppose the cornerback positions were interesting, in that Morris Shanley, you know, was in and out and, you know, got that very important goal above Fermanagh, but Kevin Flav has come in and done really, really well there. I suppose the big thing, Dan, is there's more competition for places this year than there was last year. The same names that you would expect to be down the spine of the team are there, and I think there wasn't really any surprise for me. There might have been a bit of chopping and changing in the cornerback positions because he's done that, and also I suppose a word too for Chris Kelly, who's been named in goal, the Euro goalkeeper.
Yeah, what did Micheál Martin do to get himself on the bench?
Well, what I would say to that is that something similar happened last year when Chris Kelly or someone else, I think it was he was named, and it was Micheál who actually ended up going in goal. So we don't know yet if that's going to be the case come Sunday. We may well see Micheál Aidan Martin in goal. But I think Cleary is just saying to players, look, you can only go on form and you can only go on what you see. I certainly wouldn't have an issue with Chris starting. If Micheál, like, he was away for a while there just before Christmas too, Dan, and he has had a couple of injuries. And I suppose if you're looking long term into the rest of the summer, and if Cork go deep in the Championship again, you'll be keeping an eye just on those niggling injuries. I'm assuming that might be one of the reasons. But I suppose the big thing for Chris Kelly is he didn't do anything particularly wrong since taking over the number one jersey.
No.
There is a lot of talk about Cork's kick-out strategy, and it needs to evolve. It's a little bit too simplistic at times, and it has been caught out by smarter teams. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes. But look, if you're going on form and you're going on what you see in training, Chris has earned his shot, and we'll see how it goes. But I would also say then, with John Cleary, there could be a couple of changes just a few minutes before throwing, so you just don't know come Sunday. But right now, Chris has earned a shot, so good luck to him.
And what do you think of that kick-out strategy? It's like they all line up in the centre line and then all, like an American football rush or something, all spread out, and Chris will have to pick out a man.
I'm all for kick-out strategies when they work, Dad, as is any manager. But what I would say to you is, look, it was a work in progress during the National League. It wasn't ideal. It didn't work all the time, but they've worked on it. And what you've got to get from your kick-out strategy is, if you're going long, then have to, you know, hit your targets. Colm O'Callaghan and Ian Maguire are not that hard to miss in terms of their size and their speed. But if you continually go to one side of the pitch, which a lot of the kick-outs seem to do, which was the left-hand side of the pitch, in the early rounds of the National League, it just wasn't working. And when they went short, the idea that you go short is finding that you retain the ball on your own 45. But when teams pressed high against Cork, they were turning them over. So I suppose more than anything, what I want to see on Sunday is, whatever kick-out strategy is developed, let it evolve and let it be varied. Don't keep going to the same direction. Don't keep using the same setup for every kick-out. Mix it up. All the best teams, the Dublins, the Derrys, you know, the Kerrys, they go short, they go long, but they mix it up depending on the situation. And that's something that we're going to have to keep an eye on. I think it's something you and I are going to be talking an awful lot about in this Championship, however far Cork go on it, because it is absolutely crucial that we get Ian Maguire and Colm O'Callaghan on the ball and winning primary possession from our kickouts. You know, that gives the Cork team that platform, those defenders that I spoke about, the opportunity to bomb forward, and then Cork can get going. But if the kickout strategy doesn't work and if it's malfunctioning and you don't have a plan B, that's when the problem starts. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes in the Championship. But to be fair to John Cleary, it did get better as the Championship went on. But yeah, for Chris Kelly, if he does start in goal, hitting his primary targets is going to be absolutely vital, and getting it right on the first day out in the Championship, just to set that foundation in stone for what's to come.
Yeah, we were talking about our backs there, but our forward line is hugely talented. I mean, the likes of Powter, O'Driscoll, Chris Ogue starting, Conor Corbett in the full, and Brian Hurley there, and you'd imagine Shorrock and Cronin will have a part to play off the bench.
Yeah, you would. And it's interesting that Sherlock and Cronin aren't starting, because Mark Cronin had a very good pre-season in the early rounds, and against Kerry and Parky Ring as well in the rain. He was one of Cork's best players, and he's one of those guys that can drop deep and create, but he's also a guy, if you leave him inside, he can finish. And I think for me, Mark Cronin and certainly Chris Hogue Jones as well, were just two guys that really developed and have kicked on this year and look like they've kicked on. But I level with you, Dan, we know what Sherlock can bring, we know what Hurley can bring, but I think much of Cork's success or lack of it this year will depend on Conor Corbett. He's that good, and if he's fully fit and if Cork are using him right and getting the ball into him early, that's the key thing. Get it into Conor Corbett early and let him do his thing in and around the goal. I think Cork have a great chance of having a positive season. I've been so impressed with him this year whenever I've seen him. And if you're watching the games, it's not so much what Conor does when he's on the ball, but when he's off the ball, he's an absolute workhorse. He's dragging defenders out of position. He's doing a lot of the unseen work that you don't see the great forwards do. Now, he's still very young, he's still very raw, but I think if Conor Corbett has a good season, I think Cork are going to have a good season. And if you've got Chris Hogue Jones and you've got Mark Cronin and Sherlock chomping at the bit, you know, to get into the starting lineup and stay in the starting lineup, then you've Sherlock, then you've Hurley, you've all this experience, you've Rory Dean, you've Brian O'Driscoll, another workhorse on the wing there who doesn't get a lot of headlines but does a huge amount of work linking defence and attack. The raw material is there, Dan, for Cork to kick on this year. It's just a question of can they actually go and do it, or do they actually, the players believe they can go and do it. But if you've Conor Corbett in your forward line sitting alongside Brian Hurley, you have a real chance.
Yeah, speaking about O'Driscoll there, I mean, in that Kildare game, he was the only, I mean, I think he got the only Cork scores of that match after the first 10 minutes. Like, I mean, he's an incredibly underrated player. But let's assume we beat Limerick tomorrow, maybe assume wrongly. That Kerry game, how do you think we could fare against the Kingdom at the moment?
Well, I actually know we have a lot of Limerick listeners, so we're both going to say that this is just a hypothetical situation.
Oh, God.
But I think it's vital that Cork get a crack off Kerry this early in the season. Nobody will, outside the Cork bubble or the most ardent Cork supporter, irrespective of if they were to win well or win by a couple of points against Limerick, would give them much of a chance going into Killarney. But here's the thing, Dan. I think this Cork team plays better on the road than they do at home. I don't know why. It's something that John Cleary has mentioned since he came in. They wanted to make, and the players have earmarked it too, they wanted to make Super Value Party Cueve a fortress, a difficult place for teams to come and visit. But on the road, the way this Cork team is set up, they defend in numbers. They don't necessarily press high in the opposition kickouts, but when they get the ball, this team is evolving into one that breaks in greater numbers from the back. If you're going on into Killarney and you're taking on Kerry, you're going to be defending more than you're going to be attacking. That'd be true of most teams, maybe bar Dublin and Derry, that would go down to Killarney. So we know what's coming if we end up going to Killarney, that we're going to be on the back foot. We're going to be without the ball more than with the ball for probably long stretches of it. But I think this Cork team is set up to counter-attack. It's set up to go at speed and to really stretch teams. And there is the chance that you could stretch that Kerry defence and get it out of position, that you can get a bit of change. We saw it in the National League with some of the games that Kerry lost. It was when their defenders were dragged out in front of the goal. You know, teams were pouring through the middle. Derry did it against Dublin as well the last day, the Dublin team. If you can manage to devise a system that pulls the full back line and the half back line out of position, we certainly have the runners that can go through the middle and cause some damage. Now, it would require a monumental task and probably one of our best performances of the season. But I've noticed, Dan, from talking and listening to the players after matches, they've had enough of, moral victories of going in against the big teams and losing by a couple of points and saying, oh sure, Cork are coming, they were unlucky, they were never going to win. This team is kind of getting sick of it now. But for Cork to get over the hump, they need a signature victory. They need to take down one of the big teams in a championship situation. It's very early in the year to be going and facing Kerry, but to be honest with you, that's the best time to go and face them. Don't face a Kerry team later on in the year when they've got momentum, when they're hopping and they're flying around Croke Park the way they normally do. This is an opportunity to go down to Killarney and to make a statement win. Not to put in a happy-go-lucky and, oh, we were lucky, unlucky performance. The Cork players are sick of that. They don't want that anymore. But right now, a lot will depend on how they play tomorrow down against Limerick. If Cork put up a big score, another confidence boost, and head to Killarney, I would give them a very, very slim chance of causing an upset. If they barely get over the line against Limerick tomorrow, I would give them less of a chance. But this Cork team is set up to counter-attack from deep, and Kerry don't necessarily like runners running straight at them. I think it would be a fascinating contest. But again, as we said at the start of this question, it's hypothetical because they've got to put on a performance and they've got to get over Limerick. And if they can get over Limerick and do it in a, put up a high score, don't take any prisoners now against Limerick tomorrow. Put up a high score and get ready for what's to come. I think that's the best thing for this Cork team right now. Heading into Killarney, they would be massive, massive underdogs, but maybe that tag might suit them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure the exact figure. I've seen it online. You might have a better idea. It's been a long, long time since we won in Fitzgerald Stadium.
Yeah, I don't have it to hand, but I'd rather not talk about it
even over a decade at this stage.
But look, every season is a brand new season, and you know, if nobody gives you a chance going in against Killarney, then that's fine. I think that suits the dressing room. There's kind of a one thing, Dan, I would say about Cork this year, whether it would make a difference at the end of the year or not, there's definitely an edge to this Cork team, a steeliness, and of enough is enough. They want to kick on now. They've had enough of the moral victories. They're still in Division 2, which is disappointing. They need to get back up to Division 1. But they're getting better under John Cleary. They're progressing as a team, and I think they're much... Mentally, I think they're more stronger than they were this time last year, and they certainly have more options off the bench than they did this time last year, and that's going to be crucial. But were they, you know, to go into Killarney and to beat Kerry, every single player has to play to their optimum level. Everyone has to buy into the process and execute it. And that wouldn't be just Cork, that'd be anybody. But look, got to get over Limerick, got to put up a good score, and got to put in a performance that suggests there might be an outside chance of causing, you know, a shock. And I just noticed with the team, the way they handle themselves, the way they talk now, they've had just about enough of the plucky Cork team, you know, that are whatever they are. They want to be winners. They want to kick on. And Mihalo Cronin even said it, one of the selectors earlier in the week, you know, earmarking some silverware was something they talked about at the start of the year. It didn't work out in Division 2. Well, the only other realistic option to me right now is the Munster Championship. I don't see Cork winning an All-Ireland this year, so we'll see. But it all starts in Super Value Park at Cueve, and it all has to start with a convincing performance from start to finish that puts up a big score and kickstarts the Munster campaign in the right manner.
Joe, what did you make of the Division 1 final between Dublin and Derry? I mean, it's a testament to both the teams that were still talking about it a week later.
I tell you the thing I took most from it. I was intrigued, Dan, by how Derry got into Dublin's heads and how Dublin lost their discipline on a couple of occasions.
Fintan,
at critical junctures.
His first red card for Dublin, like.
Yeah, I know, whether it was or it wasn't, you can debate it. But if you're given the referee a decision to make at that stage, that's your fault. So I don't, like, whenever these things happen, I always say, some people say it was, some people say it wasn't. Don't give the referee a decision to make in the first place and then you're not having a conversation. But what I liked about Derry was, I mentioned it earlier as well, the way they ripped open Dublin's defence and ran straight down the middle, and they had overlapping players from half-back. Their centre-back scored two fantastic goals on the day itself. I haven't seen that happen to Dublin in a long, long time. Kerry haven't been able to do it to them. And Derry have the ability, I think, they have the fitness levels and they certainly have the manager now that could cause a couple of big shocks between here and the end of the All-Ireland. The only problem with Derry is they have to get out of Ulster, Dan, which is the hardest of all the provinces, the only decent province that left at the moment in terms of competition. But what I also liked was the way they didn't back down from Dublin physically. They got into their heads, and they got into their heads to the point where I've rarely seen a Dublin team rattled like that. And something, again, that Desi Farrell earmarked and mentioned afterwards, that, you know, they've got to keep their discipline in tight situations. And any team that saw those last 5 minutes of normal time, and certainly the last 2 or 3 minutes of extra time before it went to penalties, will have noted that. And you may be sure that when Dublin come up against teams in Croke Park later in the Championship, there's going to be similar kind of issues and similar kind of, you know, schmozzles, which is all part of the game. I don't mind seeing them as long as they stay, you know, don't get too out of hand. That was the most interesting thing. Not that Derry won it, because, you know, penalty shootout, it's a lottery. Who cares? You can win, you can lose them. And they've won and lost enough of them in the past, Derry, to know about them. But the fact that Dublin's discipline was a little off the charts at crucial junctures of the game, and the fact that Derry showed a way to open up that defence, that's going to make for a very, very interesting All-Ireland Senior Football Championship, more than anything, more than winning a National League title. And that's really what I'd be looking for when Dublin meet the Kerrys and the Derrys and whoever else they meet later on this year.
Yeah, I don't know about you, Ger, but I certainly got the sense that the result will actually have suited both teams, that Derry will have gotten the huge confidence boost to getting one over on Dublin and a bit of silverware in the league. And Dublin and Desi Farrell will know they have a lot to work on yet, even after demolishing Tyrone and Kerry.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's a good point, I think, from Desi Farrell's point of view. He can put up that video clip now at the end and show the whole panel and say, right, if we can't keep our discipline, I'll put in some players that can. And Dublin have pretty much got two players for every position as it stands. They themselves and Kerry probably have the strongest depth of panels going into the Senior Championship, and possibly Derry and Donegal as well. Let's not forget Donegal either. Not far
behind. They're a bit of a dark horse, I'd say.
Well, Jimmy McGuinness is a winner. he's a born winner. I said it a long, long time ago when the Cork job was up for grabs, was it time to go outside the county and get somebody in? I was absolutely lambasted for it. Look what he's done since he's come back in. And don't forget, Dan, they beat Armagh in the Division 2 final without 10 starters. There's 10 new guys to come in for the first round of the Ulster. So do not discount Donegal with Jimmy McGuinness, and do not discount Derry, you know, with Mickey Hart. The problem is, Dan, that they have to get through the Ulster Championship.
Armagh then have the easiest route, you think, of all time. I mean, what, do they have to get over Fermanagh probably and someone
but
else
even
there?
Even at that, Dan, they've still got to beat Fermanagh, Shout Cork, that they're a sticky opponent, and getting out of Ulster and winning an Ulster title is a real achievement. The problem is you're going into a group stage then against the likes of Cork and against other teams and the likes of Meath and who haven't been tested. There's maybe one decent match in their province. So it's kind of an unfair thing for the Ulster teams, and that they're that little bit more jaded by the time it comes to the latter stages of the All-Ireland Championship. So I'll be interested to see how it pans out. But I certainly think Donegal are in with a shout this year. I certainly think Derry are in with a shout. But losing a National League final, to go back to your question, that suits Desi Farrell down to the ground, because he turns to his players now and go, all right, if you can't keep your discipline, if we can't see out these matches, I'll put some players in and give them a chance to see if they can do it. While for Derry, Mickey Hart has come in and shown, lads, we are capable of winning silverware. The belief, there's no question about belief anymore. We can mix it with the best guys. There's the trophy to prove it. It's set up for what it looks already, and we badly need it, Dan. We need an All-Ireland Championship that's hard to call and that will have three or four contenders coming to the business end of it. And I think we're going to get that this year. I hope so, anyway.
We'll wrap it up here. Jer, who's been player of the league for you, and Cork wise and nationally?
I would say nationally, I don't think I've ever seen Conor Glass play a bad game for Derry. I think he's just, I know he didn't play all the National League games, but he's so important to them, and he's just that all round player who can end to end, midfield, feel it, pass it and score. I think he's a complete player. I think he was one of the most impressive players when I did see him outside of Cork. For Cork, I would go back to Conor. I suppose Conor Carbert would be the name on the tip of my tongue, but I think Chris Hogue-Jones definitely has kicked on this year, and he's going to be a very, very important player for Cork, linking the attack and also adding to the scoreboard. He's done that this year. He's scored consistently when he's had his chance, and if he has a good Munster Championship and All-Ireland Championship, I think he will help Cork do the same.
Yeah, I think he scored the most points from play in Division 2. Which is quite a stat, and hopefully he kicks a few tomorrow. Jer McCarthy, thanks so much for joining us.
No bother, we're talking soon.
Right, to a bit of soccer now, and Cork City beat Cove Ramblers 3-0 last night in a sopping Turner's Cross. That pitch in huge trouble at the moment by the looks. Our very own Rory O'Hagan was on hand to speak to City boss Tim Clancy in the press conference after the game.
Tim, you've got to be happy with that performance, that result.
Yeah, listen, I'm happy with the result. It's the most important thing. It's a quarter of the season done now. We're sitting top of the league. So pleased. I've been absolutely delighted with the players from day one in pre-season. And now we're quarter of the way in. We're first round of fixtures done. And listen, I'm absolutely thrilled with how the players are applying themselves, how they're adapting to game situations. They've had a few disappointing moments in the season so far, but listen, I'm absolutely delighted for them.
Yeah, how tough was it out there with the conditions for the players tonight?
Well, listen, it's two teams playing the same pitch, so it's irrelevant of what the conditions are. It's freaky, the weather that we've had this year, so everywhere's the same throughout the country, and it's not easy, but again, listen, the fact that the game got through it tonight, credit to the ground staff and that as well for getting the game on. And listen, it's a good result for us. We got three goals tonight. We kept another clean sheet, which is massive for us. And I think we probably could have not been a bit harsh here in Cove, but I think we probably could have had two or three others.
You were all worried when you were 2-0 up that the referee was going to blow it up?
Well, we can't control that, so it is what it is. We have to look after ourselves, and we had a good first half again. And what the pleasing thing was, Monday we had a good first half in Wexford, and we had a pretty poor second half, and we spoke about it during the week, and we wanted to see the reaction from Monday night, and we got that tonight in the second half. I thought we were very good as well. We controlled the game, and we still carried that threat as well going forward, and Evan got his goal then, and to make it 3-0, and that was good.
It was a tough day for a lot of the players, with Kelly Healy passing, as Barry mentioned there, a lot of players close to Colin, close to Kelly as well, but they performed admirably tonight.
Yeah, listen, I think you've got a lot of young players in the dressing room, and football is their life, and it seems important. I've had a been involved in it now for 20 something years. It's just not really that important, to be honest with you. Life in general is fragile, and you've got two young kids there who you're going to be missing the mum coming, so it's not easy. And you've got Colin, who's brilliant for this club as well. It's just not easy. It's not nice. It's not nice.
Evan McLaughlin came up from left back for a goal. Has he played there before, or what was the thought process on putting him there?
Yeah, listen, Ev is he's played left back quite a bit. John's been excellent this season as well as the left back. He's part of a team that's kept, I think it was 6 or 7 clean sheets. So he was very good, but we wanted probably a little bit more going forward from that area of the pitch. And again, going with opposition who we're playing against. I thought Ev would have done well there tonight with the time he had in the ball and how Cove press. And he did very well. He's obviously popped up in the end and showed a little bit of quality as well and gets a goal from left back, which is another bonus.
I just have one.
Go on.
You just said there in the ball way through the season, you played everyone. What sides are you kind of have impressed you most that you've come up against this year? Would you say in there, like the threat to stop you winning the end?
Oh, listen, I think there's a few teams. I think UCD here were excellent against us, and they are always fit, full of energy and play good football as well. And obviously you look at Finn Harps, have had a very good start to the season as well. And again, Wexford, Treaty, there's been a lot of teams that have done very well. So listen, at the end of the day, we've got to win as many games as we can as possible and try not to worry against about other teams. Obviously be very respectful for the opposition that we're playing against, and we've seen that we've had spells in games we've been very good, and there's been spells where we've had to really dig in to frustrate other teams and stop them from scoring. So but I'd expect the season is going to be right to the wire with probably multiple teams at the top of the league.
Yeah, good stuff from Tim and from all of us here on the Big Red Bench. Sincere condolences to the Healy family at this time. So much more important things out there than sport. Rory also spoke to Cove Rambler's boss, Gary Hunt.
Gary, just how hard were those conditions for the players to play in tonight?
You have to ask them. They were the ones that were out in it, and you know, I said it to them, you know, the effort they put in, especially in the first part of the second half, you know, they dug in, they really got stuck in. You've seen yourself, and I'm sure the people can see on the screen. You know, that was a tough slog for both teams out there today. You know, that pitch really cut up. You know, the crowdsmen are going to have a lot of work to do after tonight. But look, it's not an excuse by any means. You know, we've taken this on the chin. We'll move on. Happy days. You know, we'll be disappointed by all means. But the lads, they're a good group. As I said, they're a good group. You know, they'll rally around each other, and we'll bounce back from that.
And you're back to St. Columbus Park next week. How fantastic is it to be there, and the fantastic work that's been done?
Yeah, I've said it numerous times, you know, that the lads in the background of the club have done brilliant work to take the club where it is now. You know, it's a new outlet for Cove as a community, let alone us as a club. So we look forward to getting back there now. We have to familiarise ourselves with the surroundings again, and we'll train there. We'll put in the hard miles this week to make sure that, you know, again tonight I see plenty of support for us there, you know, and that's going to be really important. And you know, to a degree we've let them down tonight because we've not given them enough from what we've showed all season. So definitely we're going to try and make up for that next week, and you know, that crowd deserve more from us, and they'll get it.
Just on the formation change at half time, is that something you could see going forward with kind of 3-5-2, or was that kind of a reaction on the night?
Well, it's really been the system we've been playing with all along. Availability of bodies today determined how we started the game, and we felt again Cork were getting probably too much joy down the sides, especially our left side, so we had to make a change at half time. And I thought the change done us quite well in terms of, you know, staying in the game, but unfortunately, as I said, the third goal is the killer. We want to have a chase of the game. We said we stay in it for a while, and last 15-20 minutes, let's see where it takes us. And just the timing of that third goal really killed us tonight to be able to do that.
And lastly, where we spoke to goal scorer Barry Coffey.
You look really sorry in the middle of the park, Barry. Was it dangerous out there, did you think?
Dangerous is probably a bit of a stretch. I think just more so trying to judge the bounce of a ball, or, you know, getting that touch out of your feet. It was maybe getting stuck and slidey, but no, I wouldn't say it was dangerous. Now, just a bit of muck never hurt anyone, to be honest. So, look, 90 minutes is what we played for. We weren't going to play for 45, and that's exactly what we've done.
Do you feel like you properly gelled yet? Do you feel like you hit your heights yet?
No, I don't think we probably will ever be satisfied with how we play or what we do, but you can see we've got a lot of young players and new faces, but week by week we've been getting better and better and adding to performances, and tonight's probably the first time we did it for 90 minutes, which is pleasing. But no, I don't think we'll ever be fully satisfied, and we'll always want more week in, week out.
It's all built in a very robust defence as well. They've conceded just 2 goals this season. I mean, like, the centre-half partnership between Charlie and Keane is spectacular. Harry Nevin right back tonight, even Evan coming in left back tonight, and Brad Wade had nothing to do for the game.
Yeah,
it was off a world, you say
that. Yeah, well, look, that's what Brad can do. He's brilliant, and I thought Ev was excellent tonight. It's not easy to go to full back, but he's just, I suppose technically he's very good and he's comfy, so he's brilliant tonight. He gets his goal, which is just pure quality again. And yeah, as you said, I think the boys are experienced as well. When we won the league 2 years ago, we were built on a very stern defence. And then, yeah, you have Chad and Coleman just lording as they do. And then, you know, if they do manage to get by them, that they've got a very good goalkeeper to beat as well. So, yeah, look, that's something that we build on, and it gives us attacking players confidence to have that freedom.
Just lastly for me, a lovely touch from yourself after you scored your goal, taking Rembrandt off for Kelly and just kind of playing tributary that way.
Yeah.
I imagine you're all devastated for Colin and for Aaron.
Yeah, it's a gut-wrenching one, to be fair. A lot of us were obviously are still very close with Colin. I knew Kelly as well because I actually met her from just being in Glasgow, and she lived in, obviously being from there as well. So that's tough. And then you see Aaron's only, 20, is he? 19, 20. So you only think about what he's going through, and puts things into perspective that football is obviously the be all and end all, and Monday we probably are very down after the game, and then you realise, like, okay, it's maybe there is bigger things to worry about in a way, and that was probably an extra bit of fire for us tonight to go and do well. And if that, I suppose, puts a 1% smile on Colin or Aaron's face for half a second, it's nice to do that. So yeah, look, we'll obviously support Aaron and their family in the next few weeks, but it's nice to, I suppose, try and do something nice on the football pitch to try and make them happy.
Yeah, thanks a million to all our contributors here on the Big Red Bench and Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey signing off. Be sure to get to Super Value Parky Cueve tomorrow to support our footballers. Stevie G is on the way next.
The Big Red Bench.
Cork's Good Times.
Red FM.